Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was nothing blue.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. Once they big up to Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, of course, the home of Mad Dads, national headquarters, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Got my special guest in today. We're doing it well. We got Damien in the house. Damien, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Glad.
Hey, man, glad to have you here. You know, today we're talking about generational curses, and of course, so got my host. Co-host here, Mr. John Turnipseed. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful, BJ.
Well, you know, we're talking about generational curses. Generational curses, man. It's a terrible thing because I think it happens to every family. And sometimes families don't even know they got it, and they don't know how to respond, and they don't know what to do. What can you say, John, about these generational curses, and how can a family find out if they even got one?
One of the things, noticing the pattern, you know, some people say that alcoholics just say that they pass it down from generation to generation. Alcoholics Anonymous believes that you can pass alcoholism down to your children, okay? So if alcoholism can be passed down, anger, financial problems, sicknesses, you know, you got diabetes, you can pass that on down. Some form of a mental illness can be passed down. I believe that. And violence and prison and things such as sexual impropriety can be passed down. So there's a lot of different things. And you can watch a pattern. If it only happens in one generation, then you can just consider it a fluke. But two or three generations down, you better take notice and you better do something about it.
Well, you know, I think it's important to also understand that if you don't know the signs of a generational curse, what are some of the signs?
For the signs, you will notice when you can almost predict that a child will go to jail. You know, his grandfather was in jail, he was in jail, his son was in jail. You know, you'll start noticing things about people. Families are known for their generational curses. Now, I'll give you an example of a good spiritual generational thing. There's five generations of pastors or ministers in a family. That's passed down. Five generations of carpenters. But if there's three or four or five generations of people going to prison, three or four or five generations of people being alcoholic, people being, you know, negative things, that's how you identify it.
Well, that's interesting. We got one of the Moms Division online. And you want to talk a little bit about your perspective? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio all around the nation. Mom Trees, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just great.
Great,
I hear you
great.
All talking about the generation curse. As Turnipseed was saying, you know, even police officers, you know, the grandfathers were police officers, and the sons and the sons' sons, even the daughters. You can't see the generation curse. I just want to use an example, my family. My family, the drinking, the drugs, the stealing, and if the elders receive the kids, and receive the kids and what they're doing and don't show them different and actually push them to do certain things, to coach them to do it, it goes on and on just like a domino effect. And it has to stop. You know, the family doesn't have no future if it doesn't stop.
Well, you know, one of the things is that we found out that family curses are reoccurring problems that steal, kill, and destroy. And Scripture is clear. God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children upon the third and fourth generations. And Exodus 25 says, curses don't visit your family without cause. And when someone up the family tree gives spirits the right to visit because of iniquity, they come looking for a reason to mess up your life. Take courage after family curses are exposed and crisis deliverance is readily available.
That's a lot. That's a lot. What that basically is talking about, you know, that it happens, you know, you can commit sins and pass it down and generational curses, the sins of the father, but in the end it says that Jesus basically can handle and clear all that up for you. But you have to ask him. I'm a minister, so that's why I, you know, I speak in terms of Jesus and all that. But families see it happening. You know, if a mother and a daughter are both prostitutes, the mother has passed down that sin, that curse, to her daughter, has basically put that into their DNA. So the daughter's daughter will probably be a prostitute, or the son, a pimp. I've seen it happen over and over again.
Well, one of the things, when you talk about this generational curse battle, and Mama Trees, you put it so well, is that they go in dimensions, and here's some of the things that you can look for to identify those curses. Emotional instability and fear, you know, confusion and depression, hereditary family sicknesses, that you see that you got a heart condition, mama had a heart condition, grandmama had a heart condition, your grandfather had diabetes, then you looked up and one day you had diabetes, and then your kids had diabetic episodes, and on, because you weren't able to handle that. Impotence problems, female problems, family breakdowns, divorces, separations, family killing each other, lack of poverty, inability to produce, inability to be viable in your community, always in debt. You're in debt. Your grandmama was in debt. Everybody was poor. Everybody's poor. Somebody tries to break out of that, but they get caught up in that family curse. No ambition, no vision, no direction. It seems like the family can't be successful. You know, when you talk about curses, you knowing that God visits the inequity of the father upon the children, upon the, like we went, go back and forth to that third and fourth generation. And so how do you stop it? You stop it by, and I think a lot of families, when you look at north side families and south side families, it seems like they've just been cursed. And all over our communities, you got these families that the police department, you say their last name, the police department knows, that family's cursed. Well, one came out to be a lawyer, and one came out to be, you know, a attorney, or one came out to be a teacher, but the rest of them were cursed. Mm-hmm. We got families all over the country that have been cursed like that. And many times, the big mama is the only person holding those families together.
Mm-hmm.
And once Big Mama goes, those families go crazy. And you know, I can name some families that just went nuts after the leader of those families had left, because it was the only glue that was holding them together and separating that curse. And usually that person was a person, a woman, or man of God that said, no, you're going to do some of this stuff right. You may not do everything right, but you're going to do some of this right. And when you talk about that curse, Mama Trees, you have to talk about what happens to a family after the curse has pretty much destroyed the family. How do they recover?
You know what? It can be death. You know, it can be death out of the outcome of, you know, the family curse. I was just thinking about, what do you call a family that, one that the grandfather was a singer, the son was a singer, his son was a singer, and it goes on in the family? You don't call that a curse. So I don't know what you would call it, but it's also good. You know, we could talk about the negative of the curses and the outcome. We know the outcome can end up jail. the outcome can end up death, and the elderly man that did the shooting in Vegas yesterday, now he's dead. They will never get his side of the story. The only thing they could do is dig down in the family and find out, what do you guys think made him get to that point to where he did that? What is happening in you all's family? Is it any more mental health going on? So, it is, and Turner Seed, I don't know how you would say, but when a generation of a family go on to be successful, and I can name a family the Steels successful. I can name a family like Whitney Houston. Her mother was a artist, and look what she ended up being. Where did that come from?
And I think you call that a family blessing.
A spiritual gift.
Yeah. And so those are blessings. Those are families that are living their blessing. You know, when we talk about generational curse, we're talking about things that are demonic, things mm-hmm. that are demonic of nature. And so we do have families that are truly blessed. You know, when you look at the Pointer Sisters, and you look at, a lot of these families that have been working together and doing great things.
Martin Luther King's family.
Yeah, you're looking at the King family, you know, they kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, too, because many of them are dead, you know. And there was a point, there's some curse in there. But there were so many blessings in that family. When you look at, even you think about Malcolm X and his family, you know, how they stuck together, they hung in there, but then Betty Shabazz, she died, and her grandson seemed to be cursed, tried to set the house on fire. That was a curse. That was some kind of generational curse, you know, although Malcolm X used to be in the streets at one point. So some of that got passed down through the grandson. And we wonder why, we look at kids and wonder, what's wrong with you? Sometimes you have to go back to the grandfather or even the great-grandfather to find out where that even came from.
Yeah, you can, you know, just look right into the heart of your own family and write down the problems that, not the good things, just write the problems that you're experiencing. I don't care what it is. And then look at your mom and your dad. And if they had the same problem, and then if they're still alive, ask them about your grandparents, okay? And most of the time, it's like generational welfare. Welfare actually is a curse. It keeps people poor. It keeps people dependent. It keeps people, eating government food all the time. And they can never have anything. If you see three or four generations of people on welfare, I've seen that in my family, that there were 3 to 4 generations of people on welfare. And the only way to break it is you got to do something radical about it. You got to first recognize it. Yes, you got to recognize it. You got to call it what it is. And a lot of people in their families don't want to talk about that. They don't want to call it what it is. You know, you're a dope dealer, your dad was a dope dealer, and your grandfather was a bootlegger. That's a generational curse that's been handed down. Talk about it, recognize it, and then confront it in your family. You know, families don't like to talk about the dirty laundry, but the dirty laundry is going to stay dirty till it's washed, and then ask God to deliver you from it.
And it's not easy to do that. And you know why it's not easy to do that? Because a lot of times people don't want to recognize they have a problem or they have a social issue, you know. And then, you know, Big Mom and Mom and them say, well, you know, he's just special. He's just a little different. But that's not really what it is. He needs to be trained in the right way. You know, when a kid starts saying, I don't want to go to church. I don't like church. But then you like all these other things. You like to smoke weed. You like to get high. You like to do all that. There's some demonic stuff happening, and you have to catch that early on.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't catch these things early on, and if you don't watch out, you know, people say, you sure act like Uncle Woo Woo, right? You know, if you see somebody acting like somebody in your family that probably has been cursed, then you need to address that and pull that family member to the side and say, here's what happened to your uncle, or here's what happened to your daddy. You don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to work yourself out of that, and here's how we can do that together. And sometimes you need to have a family intervention. And you can't have people going to the side saying, leave him alone, he all right, he just ain't going to be, he just don't want to go to church, leave him alone. We can't be like that. Because how many kids have we seen be destroyed because somebody protected them? Because that's my baby, leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You're absolutely right. You know, so, you know, and it's not, it's women and men. I'm sure everybody would agree that it's not just a man or a female problem. It is a family problem, you know, and it's connected. It's blood related, actually. You know, it's blood related. And a lot of times when you blend families, the stronger family will win, okay? So if you blend a family that doesn't have generational curses going on with a family that does and stuff, usually the dark side wins out, you know, and you introduce people and start their own, you know, generational curses can be started in one generation and not be in another one. It's just like Whitney Houston was, you know, was into drugs and things of that nature, but her mother and her grandmother wasn't, okay? So the generational curse attacked her and stuff, and then her daughter died just like she did, okay? I don't profess to be a police officer, and I wasn't there, but all of that I hear, they both died the same way. So she and her daughter didn't have a kid, so I wonder what would have happened if her daughter would have had a kid. What that would have happened to her. I believe that was something that was a spiritual evil that inhabited Whitney and took her out and then took her daughter out.
That's amazing, you know. Mama Tree, let's talk a little bit about, you know, as a mother, and I know that you've had to, just like, you know, my family, we've had to fight off some of those generational curses. What tools did you use to do that?
The tools that I used was I observed. You know, I observed my family. I listened to the elders. When I was growing up, I did more listening than speaking then. And I just seen, you know, I heard hurt. I seen my grandmother crying because her son was telling her things that she did when she was raising him. And I just looked at all the hurt that I felt hurt, you know, but it was normal to them. This is what they were going through on a daily. And when I started having kids, I kind of separated my kids from the family, and I sat up and I talked to them and I told them right from wrong. I separated my children. Even though I didn't send them to church, I took them. But I told them about the goodness of what God can do for them and how they need them. They need him in their lives. But, and I mean, it's been a struggle because I lost a child to the curse. And when God allowed me to see my son's death, and I actually told him how he was going to die and where he was going to die at, he sat on a couch and got shot in the head, just like I told him. And the other kids, they live with that. That right there is their strength. I'm their mother. I'm their strength. The curse is so deep in the family to where the elders agree. When you have a little girl and you ask the little girl, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she says, a stripper. And you laugh. And you don't tell her that that's not good. The outcome of being stripping is so much can happen in that profession. And that child grew up to be the stripper. And that child was just in jail last week with the curse. I'm watching nephews and nieces go to jail, and it's nothing that I could do but sit back and pray. Pray for the family. Pray for the elders. Because the children, and I always said I wasn't going to let the children lead my way. You know, but the children, we need children to grow up to be doctors and teachers and lawyers. And but we have to teach our babies. I'm real emotional about this because the curse is so serious in my family. And if, you know, you just gave my first name, if anyone is listening, they know my last name. And yes, it's very emotional to me because I have to keep my health together to continue to raise my children. My children are the children that fell from the same tree that the other kids fell, the apple, but they just kept rolling. And I kept pushing them in a direction to be better than what they have seen, to do better. I placed them around positive. You know, even if they didn't want to go, I'm the mother. I led the way, and I'm still leading the way. So it can be done. Curses can be broke. But you got to recognize them first.
Well, you know, and if you don't recognize it, there's going to be serious problems. Damon, you want to talk a little bit about generational curses? You've had some stuff happen, and you want to come on in and talk to us, Damon, and give us your thoughts about some of the stuff that you heard from Mama Teresa, John Turner, Steve, and generational curses.
Well, just sitting here listening, I was thinking, and I think that our children look at us as a mirror. And our life mirrors into their life. When they see us, they either want to be like us or they don't want to be like us. And when we're doing things that aren't good for ourselves and for our family, that reflects negativity into their lives and gives them bad things in their lives. And they can, like John was saying, you know, can be drug dealers because their father was and their grandfather was. And if we do positive things in our lives, go to church, follow God, bring our children to church, even if they don't want to go sometimes, and live a life of godliness, then those generational curses are going to be broken. And maybe not in our generation, but if that's what we teach our children, God will break those generational curses.
I like that. And you know, I'll give you an example. My father, only met him once, but he had other children, and I didn't meet them until 2007. In 2007, I brought everybody together because the curse was they had never had a family reunion. They had never came together as a family all over the country and just be together. Nobody had thought of that idea, and I did that in 2007 and 2008. And at the very first family reunion, my nephew was a gangster rapper, and with all the kids around, sitting down listening to him, he was spitting out gangster cuss words, and he was talking about gangster stuff and killing hoes and all that stuff, you know. And I just told him, I said, man, you know, I really ain't about that. I don't know, you know, why you did that in front of the kids, but I'm about something positive. This is what I do. And he started looking at the website and started following me and seeing what I was doing. And in 2008, he wrote a song called Father Stand Up. And since then, he's been doing nothing but family stuff, drill teams, and he's been kind of following my lead and doing stuff in the community in Texas. But that was a curse that was put on him. And I was able to help him break that curse. And so I turned that curse into a blessing. And I think that's what, Damon, you're saying, John, it's what you're saying, and Mom Treats, what you're saying, is that we have the power through God to take any curse and make it a blessing.
Amen.
To take anything that's negative and make it great. And so while people say, we're cursed, we're doomed, I hear people say that, and I say, really, you can be cursed if you want to be. Can be cursed if you allow yourself to be, but you should also be blessed if you work hard at it. Mama Trace?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, you want to respond? You want to respond to that?
Yes, you can break the curse, and I'm doing it every day. I'm watching my kids being successful in the professions that they, you know, chose to get off into. And like my son got a song, Mom told me, don't look back. And I don't want my children to look back. you know, on that family curse. You know, respect your elders. Some of the elders in my family right now, they just don't do better. So, but they, my children still have to respect them. And they keep it pushing. It's been a hard journey for me raising my children, but I didn't do it by myself. And I had the best community, the best role models around my children. My kids have the best godfather that spends good time with them and always on the phone. So you can do it. You know, it's really hard these days to actually get kids in church to participate in church. But if you continue to give them the word in a touch, you know, touch your child throughout the day and say a silent prayer, peace be still. That is so powerful. You know, go through your house and pray while the children are asleep. That is so powerful. Believe it works because I have been a praying mother. Oh, my God. I've been a praying mother. When I started identifying it, and out of 40-some years of my life did an act that could have destroyed a whole entire family. And I can speak on it today because I did that. And God threw that in the sea of forgiveness because, I was riding on that curse. But I'm showing my children different today. And other children.
That's great. When you talk about the generational curse, we believe that the reason God would punish the future generations with the sins of their fathers is because of God's bitter hatred for sin. He would require somebody who practiced witchcraft to be put to death. In Exodus 22:18, he knows that one of the most prized possessions you have is your children, and therefore it makes sin a lot harder to commit when you realize that you are not the only one that is being punished for it, but also your children are going to pay the price for your foolishness. That's what I believe is the reason behind generational curses. The whole human race fell thanks to Adam's sin, for that matter. Now, when you think about that, I was just in the jail, and the brother's like, man, you know my daddy, man. My daddy,
You were just in the jail.
Yeah, yesterday. I was in the jail reaching out.
Keep reaching out.
Right,
oh,
right. And the guy, you know my daddy, man. He one of the biggest pimps in town. I said, yeah, man. He said, but it ain't working for me. It wasn't working for him either because he's in prison, but it ain't working for me, and I got to do something, BJ. I got to do something. That is a generational curse. That he's trying to break it. He said he got 7 kids. He's 22 with 7 kids. I don't know how he did it, but he was busy. 22 with 7 kids, and he's got a generational curse he's got to break off him. Now, that is the kind of stuff we're talking about. How many of us, last minute, before we close out, we'll start with you, Mama Teresa, and we'll go around. We'll run out of time. Your last thoughts, Mama Teresa.
Hello?
Your last final thoughts.
Oh, okay. Take your time and observe your children. Be careful on what you say and do around your children. I do believe what you do, our children will suffer for what we do. I do believe that. So I'm just praying over a nation. We are some crying folks right now.
All right. Damien?
In everything I do in my life, I'm going to give God the glory, the honor, the praise, and I'm going to do my best to break generational curses in my life.
John Tennessee.
I love y'all.
I know that's right. Hey, listen, you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Big up Florida, Iowa, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, the home of Mad Dad, the foundation, the backbone, baby, Minneapolis, Minnesota. God bless y'all. Thank you, Mama Trees, Don, Tennessee, Damien, and our producer, Joanne Wade. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week. Same time, same place. Hit it. Theme song.
M-A-D-D. B-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing left. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me, what was I to do? All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers.